I am on team Mary and Joseph in this particular story. We are supposed to be looking to Jesus. We're supposed to be listening to Jesus, following Jesus. He's our example. But this time, I think his parents are in the right. I mean, he never texted. He never called. He never listened. Granted, they're doing the free-range parenting thing where he can just kind of run around all day and let him do his thing, just be back in time for dinner. They were traveling amongst family and friends, so he could spend all day with his cousins if he wanted to, but when they start calling, he's got to show up. When the caravan leaves Jerusalem, you got to keep up. They were a day's journey out of Jerusalem before they fully realized that he wasn't with them. That seems insane. For a lot of us, especially right now, we have Life 360, we've got GPS, we can find people using phones, using cars. But there was a time, and we know that it wasn't that long ago, kids could just do this. They could wander off, they could disappear. If he stayed in the caravan, he wasn't really going to go anywhere anyway because they were his family, they were his friends. He had this whole group of people who would have been watching him. It's quite likely Mary and Joseph had little ones that were just kind of bouncing around them throughout the entire journey. But a day is long, and then the panic sets in, then the fear sets in, and then they beat feet back to Jerusalem. They start checking all the shops, they start knocking on all the doors, they're asking and asking and asking. They brought friends with them to knock on all these doors. They endured 3 days of not knowing where Jesus was. It's no wonder that when they finally find him, and of course he has to be in the temple, Luke tells us that they're shocked. I'm only guessing, but there are probably more than just these words that we have in print that Mary and Joseph shared with their son. Luke tells us that she cherished these things in her heart. Some of those things might have been some of the words that they were speaking to them as they were dragging him back to the caravan. Mary and Joseph were shocked. They were shocked to discover where he was. They were shocked to see that he was okay. They were shocked to witness what he was up to. They were shocked because they had right in front of them in that moment a glimpse of who Jesus is. Maybe they were shocked by a divine revelation that was unfolding through a very ordinary human moment. Not that losing a child or losing someone in our lives, even for a moment, is a good thing. But for many of us, it's happened. We've lost a parent in a crowded space, lost track of where they went. We've lost track of a friend at a concert or a sports event. We've lost sight of a student, even for a moment, on a field trip. That experience, harrowing and terrifying as it is for that breath, it's part of life. It's a symptom of being human. It's why Mary's motherly words to her lightly oblivious son, they might resonate with some of us. Maybe it's why Luke bothered to put him in the text even to begin with. We know very soon Jesus is going to be casting out demons. He's going to be calling out destructive powers in 20 chapters. Jesus is going to be standing in front of the very governor of the Roman Empire in his territory. But for the moment, he's being confronted by mom and dad. There's some ordinariness in that. There's something quite normal about that. And this is part of a series of stories that happen all throughout chapter 2 from beginning to now where we experience very ordinary aspects of Jesus' life. He's born, just like you and I are born. His story might be a little different, but it's meant to parallel ours. 8 days after he's born, he is taken to be circumcised, which is part of the faith and custom of his time. 6 weeks later, he's taken to the temple for presentation to God. This was part of the faith formation that many kids went through. At age 12, Luke tells us today, he's taken back to the temple. He's been raised and educated in faith by his parents, by his local teacher, and now is the time for what we in our church would call his confirmation. So these are steps towards maturity that kids took, not just Jesus. The family traveled in a caravan. There were probably other 12-year-olds who were going on this same journey to do the very same thing. Probably some of his classmates were in that caravan. So especially in this chapter, Luke uses ritualized, habitualized moments to connect us with Jesus. He is the Son of God. But within these moments, Luke is trying to catch our attention, maybe shock us just for a moment to see how Jesus, who is Son of God, is also Jesus, Son of Mary and Joseph. Luke's trying to draw our eyes back to our ordinary ritualized, habitualized, daily routine lives so that maybe we could see a glimpse of God with us. Luke very well could be asking us, do we see God in the everyday? Can we hear God speaking through the cacophony of the sounds and voices? Can we imagine God so close that God is made visible through a coworker, through a classmate, through a teacher, through a precocious, sometimes obnoxious student? Can we see God in a neighbor? Can we see God in someone in this space? We've got all our routines, we've got our rituals, we've got our patterns. Maybe you only brush your teeth after your second cup of coffee. Maybe you only use the red pencil for math and only the yellow pencil for English. Maybe your highlighters are all laid out by class. Maybe you only feed the dog after you feed yourselves. Maybe you take your medicines at a particular time every day. Maybe you call your friend every night, 7 o'clock, like clockwork. It's all about being ordinary. This is what we do. And the ordinariness of our being human, is Luke is inviting us, that's where we find God. We track sports and band and theater schedules. We track specialists and appointments and upcoming procedures. We manage volunteer opportunities. We attend worship when we can. We plan our trips and all of that. Everything we do, this is where we find God. There is nothing that goes untouched by God's presence. We know this. We know all of this, and we can easily forget all of this. And it might be a little shocking, it might be a little frustrating, it might be a little unbelievable because of who we are and how we see ourselves in the world. Now, of course, there are aspects of our life that we would just assume God not know about, because, I mean, we know. But then there's the other parts of our day. Maybe it's most of our day that seems so boring, so dull, so ordinary, so separate of what we would consider a divine experience. This couldn't possibly include God. I mean, it's one thing to assume that we might be greeted by God in a space like this. We call this a holy space. Even though if we're being honest with ourselves and maybe being honest with God, a lot of what we do in here is ritualized as well. For some of us, we can come into a space like this, we can hear one or two words and we can rattle off the whole prayer. We can hear one or two notes and we can sing the whole hymn. We can tune in and tune out of worship even within a 45-minute period. It's normal. This is what it means to be human. And I think that's a key note of what Luke is trying to help us see in this text, in this entire chapter. It's in the ordinariness of our humanness that God dwells with us. Kind of like Mary and Joseph. We can go days without even realizing that God is near us, that we are loved, that the Holy Spirit is flowing through our everyday lives. We can go days without sensing God's presence. We can take God for granted. All right, to be honest, we do take God for granted. We can place our faith in a vacuum. We can put it in a book. We can put it up on a shelf. We can seal it off. We can keep it in beautiful spaces like this. We people of God, we can crowd out God with all that we do and all that we forget, and we can forget how God is part of everything. Luke's telling us Jesus was born just like you. He is taught. He's educated the way we are. And turns out he was taught pretty well. He was raised in a small town by his folks and by his neighbor, and he wanders off. He gets in trouble. He causes his mom and dad to practically want to pull their hair out in panic and fear. He's just like us. Because he is us. He is you. He is me. He's our classmate, he's our co-worker, he's our fellow worshiper, he's our mom and dad, he's our neighbor, and he is God. He's here for us to be with us so that through our lives and through his death, we can be bound to God forever, wherever we are, whatever we do. Jesus is God's promise fulfilled, that we are surrounded in love, that we are forgiven, that we are wrapped in grace. This extraordinary truth touches every aspect of our lives, whether we're deep in prayer or we're driving to Casey's, whether we are singing a hymn or we're singing to Taylor Swift, whether we are preparing to take communion or we're paying for McDonald's, whether we're marching for justice for the oppressed or we're making quilts in our basement, in our back room. Jesus embodies our life. And through each moment, he gives us a glimpse, a hint of the divine. And through faith, we can see it. We can remember it again. We can hear it. We can believe it. We can be renewed and rejuvenated. Sometimes we are shocked by God's nearness. And it happens every day. It happens every moment. It happens with every breath. It happens with every conversation, every quiet hour alone. It's all touched by God. Just as every person, every neighbor, dare we believe, every person we've marked as an enemy is also known by God, loved by God, being transformed by God, because we're being transformed by God. So maybe this week, maybe later today, maybe right now, take a moment and think of the most ordinary things that you do. Make a list. Make it long. Write down everything that you can think of. And then think of God in those moments. Think of how God is present in those moments. Wonder how God is working in those moments, because God is present in every moment. To imagine our Creator reaching down into the depths of our lives to bring forth new life, that is shocking and unbelievable enough. To know that God is doing this through the ordinary rhythms of our lives, that's grace. So may this grace abound in you in abundance. May it pour out from you in the spectacular and in the simple, so that our neighbors, our friends, and yeah, even our enemies can know that God is near. Amen.